digital revolution.
The future of radio.
You're weak and sure of yourself.
Actually,
the fact that you possess a sense of morality and we do not gives us an evolutionary advantage.
CyberstationUSA.com.
And if history has proven anything,
there's another problem with TV, believe it or not.
It is that evolution always wins.
Night, we try to win. We almost do. But then again, with our ears to the ground, we follow in the sound of wind. Another night, or is it the same? We win the fight, or so we claim. But the truth is that we found the unmistakable sound of rain. We saw it, we see it, sometimes we just drift, grabbing bits of color here and there. Color shifting, sadness lifting, vanishing. But what is the sound we keep hearing? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy great jazz. Each week, we present the music of independent jazz artists as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. This week, we're at the Jazz Congress at Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City at the annual worldwide gathering of jazz folk. You're listening now to our guest, singer-songwriter Renee Marie. We met at Jazz Congress, and we had time to sit down and chat for a little while. We open with the title tune from her CD, Sound of Red. This is the first in our two-part interview with Renee Marie. Enjoy.
ought to go. But what's the rush? I think you better get yourself a brush and help us paint this town with the
to the Jazz Room, Renee Marie.
Thank you, Miss Joan Jones.
Watson Jones. It's Joan Watson Jones.
I love that last name of yours. Joan Watson Jones.
And it's funny because I married a guy named Watson Jones.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. And so you're a singer, songwriter.
Yes.
And
troublemaker.
Mm-hmm. You're an actor too, aren't you?
Well, that's stretching it a little bit. I've done stuff on the stage, but I would not call myself an actor.
Well, you know.
That's the truth. Now, I'm not, it's no false modesty. I just think, well,
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you've done stuff on stage and you've, you know.
Yeah.
You've done.
I know technically, right?
Technically you are. Technically. There's a technicality there. So let's just sort of go back to your beginnings.
Okay.
Take me there first.
Well, I was born in a little southern town called Warrenton, Virginia. Number 5 out of 7 kids. My parents were both educators. They both taught in one-room schools, grades 1 through 8. And I was introduced to music early by my dad. He was the main one that played music in the house. He loved all kinds of music, Joan. Everything from classical to country and western, bluegrass, blues, folk music, calypso, opera. Everything except jazz. He never played any jazz in the house, but that was okay. I just loved music, so he introduced me to music and to all of us to music. I started taking piano lessons. I had about a year of piano lessons when I was 9, and then again when I was about 15. And, you know, just like the rest of us my age, grew up listening to the best music in the world. Mm-hmm. All the music that was being played on the radio station, same station, all different kinds of music. You remember that?
I do.
So
I do.
That's the early stuff. Shorthand.
Shorthand. Mm-hmm. Shorthand. So when did you get started into singing?
Well, when I was a teenager, I started singing in this R&B band. It was just a way to meet boys, you know. And I actually met my future husband in that band.
Okay.
He played the keyboards, and we were doing R&B, you know, trying to sound like, and doing a miserable job of trying to sound like Aretha. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. And that's how I got started singing music. Now, at this time, I still had not had my introduction to jazz, not until I was 17. And I went to see Diana Ross in Lady Sings the Blues.
Oh, my goodness.
That was my first time hearing this music and thinking, what is this? I loved it. And I went straight to the music store from the theater and bought a book of the songs from that movie. Sheet music from that movie, and learned how to play quite a few of them. And I just thought those chords were the most amazing thing. And then a year later, I dropped all of my music, both my husband and I. We left the music scene and joined this very strict religion of Jehovah's Witnesses. And we stopped playing music for 20-some years. I'm laughing now, but you know, it was quite the adjustment.
As they say up north in New Hampshire, yeah.
I mean, we still played music at home. We had a piano. My husband played saxophone, keyboards, as I said. He had a guitar, flute. Our sons played the drums and guitar. So we still played music at home, but it wasn't, of course, it wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so when did you start writing?
You know, I started writing as a teenager. Wrote my first song when my boyfriend at the time broke my heart, you know, and I wrote this song, blaming him for it, and it was very cathartic. And then as I grew older, you know, I wrote songs for my family. I was inspired to write this tune that's on my latest CD called Many Years Ago, inspired by my younger brother, Sam. And I wrote love songs to my husband and little ditties for my boys. Mm-hmm. I wrote little lullabies. And I mean, I actually wrote the music down.
Yeah.
And not just making it up as I went, as I often did that too. But yeah, that's when I started writing, just from stuff that was happening around me.
Well, that's what music is all about, mm-hmm. about life and mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about.
Yeah, writing about what we know.
Skinned our knees, picking sour apples from an old apple tree. We waved away bees and did as we pleased many years ago. Few cars were there to pollute the air in a small town like ours. You could walk anywhere, no burdens to bear. We hadn't a care many years ago. Many years ago. Do you remember the glass candy case at Miss Cassie's store? And do you remember the loud, hard bang of that old screen door? Do you remember the cool old oak floor, the playground in back, the railroad track, and the family that lived next door on Falmouth Street? Life was so sweet. We ran round outside in our little brown feet. Every day of the week, many years ago. Ah, the berries were good, deep in the wood. We tried not to eat them as hard as we could. When Mama sent us to pick them, she knew we would. Lightning birds in the front yard,
with drinking and playing cards. I know you remember trying to be good, 'cause that was hard. That peach tree outside and those summer hayrides and being afraid of the dark. And then one day we moved away. The sadness I felt is hard to convey, but something inside me died that day. Many, many, many ago.
So within your, besides going to the movie and first seeing Lady Sings the Blues.
Yes.
Who started influencing you? How did you branch out into more of the singers after that?
Well, you know, even at that, in listening and playing this music, I was not exposed to live jazz as such. I was still singing in this R&B band. I didn't know where to go in the town I was living in to hear live jazz. I'm sure it was being played, but I just didn't know there was a jazz scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I became Jehovah's Witness, and that ended all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I never went out to listen to any jazz. But as an adult,
mm-hmm.
I did have two or three cassette tapes that I listened to: Sarah Vaughan, Ella Fitzgerald, and Cleo Lane.
Okay. Cleo Lane.
She's amazing.
Amazing.
She's overlooked a lot, but she's an amazing singer.
She is amazing. I've spent a lot of time listening very carefully to her.
Yes.
Very carefully.
Oh, yes. I learned a lot from her.
Mm-hmm.
What a voice.
She's a master class every time you put on a CD.
It's true.
Keep going here, but let's finish this interview first.
You know, I don't think her praises get sung enough.
I think you're right on that.
Underappreciated and overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
But Cleo Lane is Miss Thang.
She
anyway,
is.
Anyway,
yeah.
So it was just those three cassette tapes I listened to most of the time in the house. My sons learned the songs, and that's how I learned the different things I could do with my voice, because trying to sound like them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I wanted to sound like Miriam Makeba.
Right. Well, it's good to see what is our throat capable
what
of doing?
What is the voice trying to do?
Right.
And hers was so unique that and her specific South African language that you just... We digress again.
No, it's important, because did you get that album that she and Harry Belafonte did together?
Yes, I did. I went and saw them do it in New York City. I saw them perform that live.
Yeah.
Here in New York City when I was a kid.
You know, because there's more to it than just what's happening in the throat. There's also the delivery.
It's the delivery, but it's
her singing.
Yes.
There was something about that. Like, her whole body was a musical note.
It was. It was. And you know, and sometimes singers spend lifetimes trying to
imitate it. But it came from her just naturally. And those are things that we have to own as singers. We have to figure out what's our natural way of getting the sound out. you know, you try to imitate singers when you're first starting, but eventually we have to come to the point where we look at ourselves and go, well, who am I? What's my musical sound like? Mm-hmm. And we have to be free and just let go, just like Miriam Makeba did.
Oh, we are paddling down the Colorado River, and we are singing a Colorado River song. Yes, we are paddling down the Colorado River, and we're singing a Colorado River song. We're in our little canoe, just me and you, under a sky so blue. What a wonderful view. Oh yes, we are paddling down the Colorado River, and we're singing a Colorado River song.
You're in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson-Jones. We continue with part one of our interview with singer-songwriter Renee Marie at Jazz Congress at Jazz at Lincoln Center in New York City. We're talking about her journey in music and her CD, Sound of Red.
Tell me when you moved from being your family person to your singer and you're getting out there and doing your
Cliff
thing.
Okay, Cliff Notes.
Yes.
My oldest son convinced me to start singing again. We contacted a guy that we knew who had a quintet. I called and asked, could I sing with his group? He said yes. I learned as I went. I didn't know the first thing about singing jazz. Within a year's time, I had my own band. I was working full-time at the bank also. Had my own band, my own repertoire, my own charts in my key, and and was getting my own gigs. Make a long story short, my husband at the time insisted that I stop and actually threatened me and said if I didn't stop, I was going to be sorry and I would have hell to pay. and some domestic abuse broke out.
Okay.
And I left. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With my music, I want you to know.
Okay.
My music and my microphone and my sound system, I left with all of it, and I never went back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Renee Marie's story has only just begun. Join us next week to learn more of her journey and her music. In the meantime, learn more about her at reneemarie.com, spelled reneemarie.com. We're listening now to Stronger Than You Think from her CD Sound of Red.
Broken wings, let me hold you close and calm your furious beating. Timid heart, please speak to me and tell the secrets that you hide. Empty hands, open up and hold on to what's worth keeping. Soul that's lost, I've got some hope to take the place of all that pride. I can see strength that's deep and growing. On your face is a story just waiting to be told. In your mind is the source of everything worth knowing, and a spirit that will never grow old. And the ways you roam are gonna rise and fall. You got a lot to learn, but you're never gonna know it all. You're stronger than you think you are.
We've come to the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. We love hearing from you. You can now find the Jazz Room on Twitter at Ms. Jazz Kitty, or you can email me or send a direct message through the Jazz Room page of my website, JoanWatsonJones.com. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.
Shame is an admission to ourselves of our potentials. Loneliness ain't nothing but the stranger that's inside. Emptiness just means we're not aware of our own credentials. And your battle scars mean that you've competition. Once you see that what you need has been with you all along, once you learn that courage is another word for intuition, then your fears will disappear and your heart will burst out in song.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Fusion USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.